I hope everybody is ready for class today. We have, I thought after today's class, we would be able to move on to the test, but I have today's class, and then I have another class on the typology of Moses, or Moses the movie, right? And so you have to have that class as well to do the next test. Today's class is very important to the test, and today's class is called Jesus the Door, okay? We want to explain from the Hebrew why Jesus would make this statement in John chapter 10, that I am the door. You know, anybody that comes through me, you know, but if someone comes over the other way, it's they're a thief and a robber, but I am the door and the sheep know my voice and all of this stuff, Jesus proclaiming himself to be the door. Now, in some scriptures, it translates as gate, but the word is, and even in the Greek, if you look it up, it never says gate, it says door, okay? So, Jesus is the door, and that's the lesson that we're going to get into today. And I want you to know that I don't have my mic. Can you hear me? You can hear me, huh?
Hollow.
But it was hollow.
Yeah.
I forgot to put my mic on. Am I professional now? Can you hear me? It still sounds hollow?
Yeah, something's still missing.
Okay.
You keep on going, Pastor.
All right. So I want us to pray. You guys are turning in your homework. I've looked at some of the homeworks. I will look at the rest of them tonight. Quite a few people are getting their homework in. I was hoping that you understood what I wanted from you. And it appears that most of you, probably all of you have gotten exactly what I was trying to get done for those first three pages of our book. Okay. In these first three pages are words such as Elohim, El, Adonai. We have the word Yahweh. And then, of course, Jews don't write the word Yahweh, so it's just Yad Yad. And then I wanted you guys to write out Yom Rishon, because it's Yom Aleph, Yom Bet, Yom Gimel, Yom Delit, Yom He, Yom Vav, and Shabbat. But, you know, the names are Yom Rishon, which is the first day, second day, Shani, Shaloshi, Arba'i, and Chameshi, and then Shishi, which is Friday. So some people wrote out the names of the date. Some people wrote just the numerical values. Okay. Also, here is on the second page, it says here is how we ask God to listen to our prayers. And it says, Smai kolanu Yahweh Eloheinu. Now, because some people don't understand that nu means us, okay, or our. And this is what I want you guys to get used to studying biblical Hebrew, okay? Kolenu means, we already know what smai means here, right? Here, kolenu, our voice. Okay, so kol is voice, but we know nu is ours. Okay, so kol, or you, if I just say hear my voice, it would be kol sheli, or okay, so that would be my voice. But if I'm saying our voice, kolenu, shmai kolenu, and then it says Yahweh, Eloheinu. Eloheinu. So that's our God, right? Okay, so these are the phrases and terms I'm trying to get you. Okay, Zakar, remember et Yom Shabbat. Okay, Le Kadosh, Le Kadosh. Okay, so it says Zakar, you can't, it says Zakar is just the noun that we're, verb that we're using, zakar et hayom. So say zakar et. Now I keep saying zakar et yom, okay, ha-shabbat. We're going to talk about that word et today because the Jews had to figure out how they're going to use it when they're in their language. And then the third page was Malachnu, which is what? Our king, right? Okay. Kolenu, we know that. Eloheinu, right? We know that. So we're understanding. Now, when it says Amenu, Am is people in Hebrew. Am is a very... Am means people, okay? This is when I love English, because we just say people, right? Am is people, okay? But in the conversational Hebrew, Anashim is people, okay? So I'm trying to show you that biblical Hebrew can be different from conversational Hebrew, okay? So Am Eloheinu, the people of God, okay? Amenu, our people, okay? And Kolenu, our voice, Malachnu, our king, okay? Eloheinu, our God, Adonainu, our Lord. So you're learning the plural, how to write the plural in Hebrew, okay? Yes. I know. I'm just trying to go over this homework before we pray in, because the lesson today is the most important thing, because the lesson, we only have this lesson and next week's lesson until you get your test. And I'm trying to get the test in because I only got 10 days, I think. And then we'll finish up there if we get a chance. Or maybe, you know, it'll happen during the Feast of Tabernacles. We don't know what day. There's 8 days during that feast. And, you know, maybe it'll happen on Shemini Atzeret or during that time. But I think that I am leaving. So I'm trying to get this class in and get a second test in. But I don't know if we're going to make it. So let's enjoy our lesson and what we're doing here. Like I said, we want to grow before we go, right? Amen. So that's what we're doing. Okay. This last section down here was Zakar. Oh, you guys, someone did a very wonderful job on this. And so Zakar Amenu, which means the voice of my people, Zakar Eloheinu, the voice of our, to call Zakar Talifa, remember to pray. So all of these are words to show you when you're proclaiming something to be ours in Hebrew. Now, as we go on, it's going to show you, the Hebrew is going to show you how to say mine or something belonging to someone else, okay? And so let's get into today's message, and I'll get back to the workbook when we're done. Because today's message is, I was going to say, muy importante. That's Spanish. But let's pray first before we go and get into this last message. I hope you guys were listening last night. There are some things that I want to go over from last night, but let's pray because I'm getting all excited before it's time.
Pastor, there's a little 4-year-old boy that's going into having an epilepsy attack.
Uh-huh.
His name is Gary Graham, and one of our members asked if you could please lead him in prayer.
What's his name?
Gary Graham. He's 4 years old.
Okay, Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray for Gary Graham right now, Father God. We pray that you would touch his body, Father God, touch his mind in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Give his family and his parents understanding of how to bring that under control, Father God. Lead them, Father God, to the intelligence of how to control that, Father God, because we know that there is a healing for everything, Father God, and you know that healing. Lead them to the healing, Father God, in Jesus' name. Touch his body and heal him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So, because you never know, God may know just the cure. All you have to do is eat this or do
right.
that or right. stop doing this.
Right.
And so we just pray that God will watch over him and bless him and keep him from having those attacks.
Amen.
Here we go. Avanu, our God. Beshamayim. Avanu. Shaba Shamaim Yitkadesh Shemcha Tavo Melchuteke Yase Rotsanaka Be'aretz Ke Asher Ne Asa Beshamaim Tenlano Hayom Lechum Hukeno usilaglanu et ashmitenu, ke asher solechem anachnu le asher ashmilanu, vial tevienu le de masa, ke im hatzilanu min hara, kilacha hamamlacha vehagivra vehativ eret le olame le olamim, amen. And Elohim is Tov Akol Zman, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at this because check this out. I wanted to tell you guys this because I didn't get a chance to tell you last night. Okay, now in this new pastor that's leading Scotty Clark, he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Christ sent me, Paul says this, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. So what his claim was, see right there, water baptism ceased. So you don't need to be water baptized to be saved. Now, if you understand Hebrew, and what have I always said? Hebrew is the base of all knowledge, okay? If you don't know the Torah, it's going to be really hard for you to understand why Jesus is getting mikvah. They didn't call it baptism. He's Jewish, right? They had mikvahs in the Old Testament, okay? Because the priest had to, when he went into the temple, he had to go and wash in the mikvah, okay? He had to go wash. So in Exodus, it says, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash mikvah with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire to the Lord. So washing in the laver was the second portion or the second step of this entering to the tabernacle. Because what was in the tabernacle? You walked into the tabernacle, and then here, right here, was the burnt offering, right? And then the lamb, that's where they would offer the lamb, right?
Yeah.
Right after they did that, they had to go and wash in the laver, okay? And so they had to mikvah. They had to clean themselves. Why? Because where are they going to go next? To the holy place, where the bread and the menorah lamp is, and the table of showbread and everything. Because where are they headed to? They're headed to the Holy of Holies. So they're taking all the proper steps before they get to the Holy of Holies, okay? So I go in, the sacrifice, I wash in the laver, I go to the holy place, then I go to the Holy of Holies, and that's where the presence of God is. You see how the relationship goes? So when I get saved, I ask Jesus to come into my life. That means the lamb's already been offered, okay? I don't have to sacrifice a lamb because he's already been offered. He's cleared that.
Yeah.
The next thing I need to do as a born-again Christian, I need to go wash in the laver. Why? I'm going into priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. You got to understand that. And so we're taking the proper steps to enter into priesthood, okay? So we wash in the laver, then we go into the holy place, and then we begin with the bread of life, because you got the table of showbread and the menorah lamp. You become a light to the world, and then you go into the Holy of Holies, where this special relationship, where you can meet God face to face. But you can't miss steps on the way. You can't go into the Holy of Holies and you haven't went through the table of showbread and the menorah lamp. You know, there's steps. Baptism is part of the step of entering to a priesthood. So Jesus is there, and John is going to baptize Jesus. And but Jesus, John says, you should be baptizing me. And he says, no. He says, let's do this, that all things may be done in what? Decently and in order. Why? Jesus is a high priest,
yeah.
And he was about to enter into his priesthood and to begin his ministry, so it had to be done properly and in order, okay? So never let anybody tell you you're saved, you don't have to be baptized. You know what I mean? You need to be baptized because you're... Now, does the baptism save you, or does accepting Jesus Christ save you?
Accepting Christ Jesus
saves you. I'm turning off this phone. Because accepting Jesus Christ saves you. Because I was doing prison ministry for a while, and all the guys were getting accepting Jesus Christ in the Bible studies in prison, and we didn't have a place to get baptized. So the guy said, well, they're not saved until they get out and get baptized. I said, no, they're saved when they accepted Christ. When they get out of prison, they can get baptized, but God, they're saved when they accept Christ. Yeah. If they don't have a place to get baptized, God is not, I mean, God is wise. He knows that they don't. But what they did is they filled the swimming pool up, which they hadn't done for years because we had so many guys accepting Christ. So they started baptizing. We started baptizing in the swimming pool in the inside of the prison. So, and I baptized them immediately because I know we are royal priesthood. And as we enter it into our priesthood, everything has to be done decently and in order. Okay. Is accepting Christ a form of being baptized? Yes, but it's a different word. It's a baptisma, which means that he's going to dye you the same color as him. Now you've been dyed the same color as Christ. But there is a baptizo, which means a water submersion, a mikvah, okay, which means that you're going to be water baptized. So water baptism is very important. And if Satan is trying to attack it to tell you you don't need a water baptism, you got to think there must be something very important about water baptism. And Paul explained that in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 18, what we read last night. Your baptism is very important. And don't let anybody tell you you don't need a baptism because, yes, you're already saved, but do things properly and in order. You want to be like Christ? Then be like Christ, okay? That's all I wanted to say on that. Oh, my goodness. Now, here we go. We're going to get into our lesson today because this is one of the most important lessons of the Bible, and the lesson is called Jesus Christ, the Door. Okay, now, we know our Hebrew alphabets, right? What are our Hebrew alphabets? I want you to be on page 27 of your book. I don't have my fan. Okay, I'm going to put this fan on so I don't faint in front of everybody first. Yeah. Yeah, I remember now. I am not going to faint. Here we go. All right, now, here's the book. Right there it says, Jesus Christ, the Door. Okay? Now, we're going to talk. I'm hoping this gives you as much information as I want you to know about this, but because you have to understand Jesus Christ is the door. Now, listen to me. We know our Hebrew alphabets. Okay, at the top, right under where it says Jesus Christ the Door, it has seven letters. And those seven letters are Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit, Hey, Vav, Zayin. What is the fourth letter? Dalit. Okay. Dalit is what? The door. That's what the word Dalit, even though it's the fourth letter, the word Dalit means door. So the fourth letter is the door. Right there in the letter sequence, God is telling you the whole story about his salvation. Because the salvation is going to come from the door. What did we do in the beginning of these classes? We drew a menorah lamp with the seven letters, right? And the middle of the menorah lamp is the servant lamp. That's where the oil flows from, okay? So the middle lamp is Dalit, the door, okay? Now, I was just telling Pastor Ben, we can go down further here. I wrote it on the board if you want to see it on the board, but it's also on your paper. And here it says, Bereshit Bara, one word, Bara, two words, Elohim, three words, Et. What is Et? What's the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph? What's the end of the Hebrew alphabet, Tet? So the whole alphabet, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. He didn't say he's the Alpha and Omega. He's like, I'm not Greek. I'm the Aleph and the Tav, right? So he's the Aleph and the Tav. And then that's the fourth letter. And then you have the fifth letter, Hashamayim Va'et Ha'aretz. God himself said, I want to start my book off with seven words. Bereshit bara Elohim et. Who's et, God? He's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the beginning and the end. Okay, the et is me. Okay, God. All right? So, the four becomes the essential factor in all of Scripture. That's why some people kept saying, Pastor, I keep seeing 444 wherever I go. And then when I tell them, the reason you're seeing 444 is because it is the essence of who Yeshua is. Okay? Now, as we start off this message, and if something is missing that I think you need to know, I'll go back and fill in other things. But in John chapter 10, Jesus says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay? And it says, oh my goodness, it just went into my head because in the bad teaching that we've been listening, that I had to go listen to, they said, and none of us are sheep. Don't let anybody call you a sheep. And I was like, everything Jesus says we are, they're trying to take it away. So it's important for us to study our word, okay? Because he says, I am the door of the sheep. In John, in chapter 9, 10:9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus Christ is the door. And I got him in my hand. I did a Pastor Ben. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Now, you didn't see that. Okay. It says, Jesus is the one that opens the door to heaven for all men. That's why he's the door. Okay. And it says, God made the door the fourth letter. Therefore, everything in the scripture that is four pertains to Jesus Christ. Everything. Okay. And we'll go over that, but I'll go back to that. So you'll see that God made everything that's the four related to Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, wait a minute. Okay, here it is. Let's read this verse. The fourth word of the first sentence of the Bible is et, okay? And it's written, you know, English way there because my computer wouldn't do it in Hebrew. But it's the Aleph and the Tav, okay? Et. And it says, that is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now it says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, okay, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, El Shaddai, the Almighty, okay? So, God tells you who he is. He says, first of all, he's going to say it in Hebrew, I'm the Aleph and the Tav. I'm the beginning of the alphabet to the end. And he says, I'm the beginning and the end. Then he says, who is, who was, and who is to come. That is Yahweh, the whole essence of Yahweh. Haya means was, Chiyi means will be. So the whole essence of how you say God, Yahweh, is encompassed as who was and who is to come. Okay, now that's so you'll learn Hebrew, okay? Because you say Haya, I was, Chiyi, he will be. Okay, and so, and then it says, Alpha and Omega is Greek. Jesus was Hebrew. Okay, so it says there is no interpretation of et in Hebrew. Jews are confused by that, but believers of Yeshua know it is et is Jesus. So everything in the Bible that is for leads to Yeshua. Okay? We did a thing with some Hebrew rabbis back, you know, 2007 or so, and going over the et in the Torah, because it'll say et this and et that, but every time it used et, it was a prophecy about Yeshua. And if they went, so they went back to study all of the etz that was in the Torah and looked at them as prophecies about Yeshua, and it all made sense then. So that's why, so that word never, because throughout history, et never had a meaning. They just, like, I'm right in the middle of a sentence, you just write et, okay? But now it has, now in the conversational Hebrew, it directs you to the subject of the sentence, okay? You say, I'm going to wash my car. You would say, et mikonit, okay? Mikonit sheli, you would say, et, and then say what that is referring to. So it would refer you to the topic of the sentence, okay? So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to this. It says here, God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for a sign and a season and for days and for years. Okay, so God put the lights in the sky. Okay, and he says, and then when you go down, it says, so there was evening and there was morning, and that was the fourth day. So all the light that was placed in the sky, that means the sun wasn't created to when? The fourth day, okay? Now, the sun, it says God created the sun on the fourth day. The sun provides light to the whole world, and without the sun, all things would die. Only Yeshua can proclaim the same thing. You understand that?
Yeah.
So God put a substance in the sky that gives light to every living thing in the world. It doesn't matter. You understand? Yeah. Everything dies without the sun. Okay? So only Jesus can say, I'm just like the sun. I provide life to everything. Okay? Then it says, look here, Judah is the fourth son of Leah. Jesus came from the tribe of what? Judah. So the fourth tribe happens to be Judah, which is the tribe of Jesus. Because remember, God is consistent in all everything he does. Now watch this. The Hebrew people were not able to kill the lamb. We're on number three. To kill the lamb until the fourth day. Jesus entered the world, okay, in the year, in the 4,000th year, well, it was the 3,983rd year he was born. When he turned 17, was the fourth day of the world. It became the 4,000th year. So when Jesus turned 17, it became the 4,000th year, so that made him now eligible to be a sacrificial lamb. You understand? Because you can choose the lamb, but you can't kill the lamb until the fourth day. Why did God do that with the Egyptians? He was prophesying about a future lamb that he chose, but he can't kill that lamb until the 4,000th year, which is 1,000 years is as a day. God had to wait 4,000 years to kill his lamb in keeping in accordance with the rules of the Kadosh, of being holy, right? So he waited for 4,000 years knowing that he already chose Yeshua to die for your sins, but he can't do it because the proper way to do it is in the fourth day. And so after the 4,000th year, okay, and it says, because a day is like 1,000 years to God, 4,000th year would be the fourth day. Jesus the Lamb arrived in Jerusalem. Now, watch how God does this. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem when he's on the donkey. Okay, He's on the donkey, and he said, now he sets this day up. He says, go get this donkey, bring it here, and then I'm going to. And then they place him on the donkey, and they ride him down the Kidron Valley into Jerusalem, and he's there, and he's on this, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means come and save now. They're recognizing him as the king. Now, what they're recognizing him as the king, it's the 10th of Nisan, okay? Now, on the 10th of Nisan, the Jews already have a custom that they do on the 10th of Nisan. And what do on the 10th of Nisan? They go and they get a lamb to prepare the lamb for the sacrifice. That's from the Torah, okay? Because God told them in Exodus, go and pick a lamb on the 10th and then prepare that lamb for the sacrifice on the 14th. Wait 4 days and then kill the lamb, but not at any time. Bind him, but then don't. He can't be killed until when? Twilight. Okay? So when at twilight, the lamb has to die. That's from Torah coming out of Egypt. So on this 10th day that Christ is riding down the Kidron Valley on the donkey, it's the 10th of Nisan. What does Jesus know about the 10th? He knows he's riding in there, not as king.
Right.
He's riding in there as a lamb. Because he knows what's going to happen 4 days later.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, here we go. It says, I'm reading number 4 on our book, and I hope you're on page 28. It says, then they are to take some of the blood and put the... You know what? I'm going to get my Bible, and I'm going to read this from the Bible, because it'll be better for us to understand this if I go to Exodus chapter 12. Okay? Because you got to understand everything God was doing here. This is why I'm so happy to be going home, because Christ is so precise in his word. If you went to my house right now, you'd be like, why are all them bags packed? They ain't got nothing in them, but I'm leaving. I am planning on leaving. I just think God is precise. And this year is incredible that we would make it to this year. And all people who have ever lived on the earth wish that they could be been raptured. And God chose us. Isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome. Here we go. We're in Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start off in verse 1, because this is when God changed the month. Okay? So God says, it said, God said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. It says one for each household. Okay? So they take the lamb on when? The 10th of Nisan. Okay? And then go down to verse 6. He says, take care of them. What? Who's the them? The lambs. Until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Okay? Now, they wait 4 days, and then they killed the lamb at twilight. Now, let's talk about something here. They're in Egypt, and God is about to bring them out. God is about to expose their last god. And their last god was Amon-Ra, which was what? The statue of a huge lamb with the Pharaoh standing in front of it. That was the Amon-Ra god, okay? So the Egyptians worshiped the lamb. You've been in this class. Where did they get the idea that the lamb was the god of the universe? From the star constellation. So they're corrupting the star constellation, and they started worshiping the lamb in Egypt. I have a whole book on Egyptology at home. And so the lamb was not just the god Like in some countries, they say you can't eat the cows because the cows are gods. In Egypt, you can't touch a lamb because the lambs are God. Okay? So the lambs became God, and God wants to expose this lamb. And God knows they stole it from his story because he knows that the lamb is God of the universe, but the lamb is going to die.
Right.
Okay? So on the 14th, they wait 4 days and they kill the lamb. Okay? Now, after they killed the lamb, they did what with the blood? Let's continue on our study now. Okay. Now, I'm back in the book again. And it says, on number four, it says, then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and the top of the door frame of the house where they eat the lamb. Why blood? Why would God put blood on the door? Why would God put blood of a lamb on the door? Who is he talking about?
Christ.
Think about that. Think about how God is thinking so precisely with his word. He tells them to make sure you take and put two on the side and one on the frame. And so now you got three spots of blood on a door. And it's lamb's blood. Okay? Now, here we go. In Exodus chapter 1, I'm number 5 now, it says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. You see that? So when Jesus' mother gave birth to him, she hid him for how long? 3 months. In the 4th month, she placed him in the water. So what month, and how many, in the 4th month, the mother of Christ placed her son in the water in an ark and pushed him out. And where did he end up? In Egypt. Okay? Why did she wait to the 4th month to push him out?
Fourth day.
You see there? So everything relating to Christ is going to be fourth. So this is Moses, and he's being pushed out because he's representing Yeshua, and because he's going to redeem the people.
Mm-hmm.
So she pushes him out, and it's the 4th month. She keeps him for 3 months, and in the 4th month, she pushes him out, and he ends up in Egypt. He's there for the purpose of redemption.
Yeah.
Okay? Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Take the bunch of hyssop, dip the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on the side of the door frames. Okay? And then it says here, none of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. Listen what it says in Revelation chapter 4. John's in Revelation, we're still in the book, we're on page 28. In Revelation chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. So who's standing open in heaven?
Christ.
Jesus. I looked, and there was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. That's what we're about to hear. And I will show you what must take place, meta tauta, after these things, after the church things. Now I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the world after the church thing. But the person that's standing in the door with the trumpet is the door, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And what was shut? The door was shut. After the rapture, what's closed?
The door.
No more grace through Yeshua. No more grace through Yeshua. All you got to do is confess his name. Be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All you got to do is confess, okay, and you're saved by grace. The door will be shut to what? You can no longer be a part of the church. You can be a part of tribulation saints who were saved, or before Christ came, you can be a part of the Old Testament saints who were resurrected and went up into heaven. Okay? But if you're going to be a part of the church, you have to do it before the wedding.
Yes.
Because once the wedding happened, it says here, and the door was shut. That means grace is now over. Who else door shut?
Noah,
because Noah means what? The rest. But backwards Noah is grace. You're right, Pastor Ben. Backwards Noah. So God says when Christ comes, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. This is what he's talking about. The door is going to be shut. What did Christ do before the rain started? Saying God went down and he shut the door of the ark.
Before the rain,
and then the rain came down. But before, he had to shut the door to the ark. Right. And who's the ark? Yeshua. Okay? He's our ark out of here. This is one of my favorite studies, so forgive me if I get too excited, but I love this study. Okay.
Amen.
Now, there's other things I wanted to talk to you concerning the door. Oh! This is the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about. What happened after they killed the lamb in Egypt? They left Egypt, right? Now, when they left Egypt, I think it's Genesis chapter 8. I hope I have time to teach you this. Okay, because in Genesis chapter 8, I want you to know something. Oh, this is the best. I could never be a salesman, but the Bible, it just excites me.
Yeah.
I don't know how people get excited about selling stuff on TV, but I sound like a salesman when I'm reading the word. Okay, now, in Genesis chapter 8, what is 8? New beginning, right? Now, the flood has already happened. And it says, now we're going to start in the first verse. It said, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth and the water receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed and the rain had stopped falling from the sky and the water receded steadily on the earth. The end of the 155 days, and the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to a rest on Mount what? Ararat. Yeah. What does Ararat mean?
Reverse
the curse. Not just reverse, it means reverse the curse. So now, okay, so now it's saying this, look. On the 17th day of the seventh month, okay, what's the seventh month? It used to be Tishri. But God said, no, we're not going to start a year in Tishri anymore. He said, get Moses and Aaron. This month, Nisan, is now going to be the first month of the year for you. Okay? So, since He changed the month from the seventh month to the first month. Now it's Nisan. So it was Nisan. Nisan used to be the seventh month. Now it becomes the first month. Okay? Because Tishri used to be opposite with Tishri. But now Nisan becomes this. So in this scripture. It was the 17th of Nisan that the boat came to a rest on Mount Ararat, because it was Nisan before God changed it. So on the 17th of Nisan, God reversed the curse. Now, Yeshua arrives in Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. 4 days later, they crucify him. 3 days after that, 15th, 16th, 17th, he resurrects from the grave and he reverses the curse of sin that is upon man, and he reversed the curse. When? On the 17th of Nisan. It is the exact, God changed the year so it would coincide with the exact same day that the ark rested on Mount Ararat. So on the 17th of Nisan, the ark came to a rest and the curse was reversed. On the 17th of Nisan, Jesus resurrected from the grave and the curse was reversed. Okay? So now, if you want to meet Yeshua, you have to go on the Damascus Road. And what's the numerical value of Damascus Road? 444. So here is little Saul. He's on his way to Damascus on the 444 road. Who do you think he's going to meet? Damascus means the road to love. So he's on his road, on the road, and he's on his way to meet Yeshua. He doesn't understand Damascus is Jesus' road. It's been numerically valued from the beginning of time that this door, that this road is Jesus' road. It's the 444 door. So he comes and he hears Yeshua and he hears the words, Saul, Saul, lama taradofuti, why are you persecuting me? And he says, Mi atah, Adonai, who are you, Lord? Ane Yeshua mihatavrodov, who you are persecuting. You can't kick against this rod. It's too heavy. You can't move this. I've set Christianity into the world. You can't kick against it. You're gonna destroy yourself trying to destroy this, is basically what God says. So Saul gets the message from God, and Saul becomes Paul. And then the gospel begins to be preached by Saul throughout the generations. And this is what the 12 disciples do. You have 12 disciples that are responsible for preaching the gospel. How many star constellations do you have? Major star constellations? 12. And all of the subplots that are in those 12 are doing what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do they preach different gospels?
No.
So that means Paul preached the same gospel as the others. You understand? It's the exact same gospel. So if someone comes to you and say, no, Paul preached a different gospel. He preached the gospel of grace while the other preached the doctrine of works like Jesus did. Please, you guys, I am here. Believe me, I am not someone who decided to be a pastor or who started a website. I've been a pastor of a church, what, 15 years now, right? And I was in prison ministry 4 years before that, right? So, and I learned Bible from this. These are my Bible teachers. Chuck Missler, anything he put out, I would read it, okay? Gary Stearman and J.R. Church, anything they put out, I would read it. Mark Belts, excellent Bible teacher, I would read it. And if I wanted to know numericals, how history worked out through numerical, how God worked out the numericals throughout history, I go to Dan Matson. Those are my Bible teachers, okay? Now, I study to show myself approved so that I can be a benefit to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have a question and you are part of this school or you are part of this online international church, if you have a Bible question, please come to me and ask, because if I don't know the answer, I'm going to thoroughly investigate it to make sure you get the right answer. Okay, and we'll both pray about it and the Holy Spirit can give us both the right answers. But I'm not going to make up stuff, you know, so I can be interesting online for people, so I can, you know what I mean? So we have to make sure that we're preaching the word of God. And I, you know, I used to be like very humble. I am still very humble in the fact that God called me to preach. But God said, you need to be bolder about who you are.
Yes.
And who I am is an absolute Bible nut. Okay. I love the word of God and I hate to watch the word of God being preached twisted or somebody cutting zigzags where God already made a straight line. Okay? So praise God. Let's pray out. And next, this coming week's homework is this. I'm going to make it simple. You got to keep working on your, you got to keep working on your book. Try to do the next two lessons. But this is what I really want turned in. On page 3 of our book, of the workbook, this is our study book, this book, there is my favorite prayer. And I want it to be your favorite prayer. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tizvanu le'asok b'deveri ha'torah. Okay? So, it says here, blessed be the Lord our God of the universe sanctifies us and who commands us to engross ourselves, le'asok, engross ourselves in the word of Torah, okay? I want this to be your prayer because God doesn't want you to read the word. He wants you to soak yourself in it, le'asok. And you can use that as an English word, but le'asok means engross yourself. Yeah, it means like you've eaten so much that you're completely stuffed. Or le'asok means to completely submerge yourself in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is a healing to your flesh. It's joy to your spirit. It will do a lot for you both physically and spiritually if you stay in the Word of God. Praise God. Now let's pray out as we read our Mosaic benediction. And I got the wrong Bible. I could just sing it and know it myself. But the English part is the part I have to read. The Hebrew part I know. Okay, so here we are. God said to Moses, when you see my people, this is how I want you to bless them. Say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, each and every one of you. Thank you so much. It says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechaka Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yaseh Adonai panavilecha. Ve'yasim lecha shalom. Leitriot be'shavua chaba. That's it.